In the fall of 2013, Gary Temple Bodley began channeling a group of non-physical teachers known as Joshua. Soon thereafter, Joshua asked Gary to start writing. They have since produced 4 books and answered hundreds of questions in written form. In the spring of 2016, on the Law of Attraction cruise, Gary underwent hypnosis and Joshua spoke through him for the first time. Since that time, Gary has been practicing channeling Joshua verbally in live weekly calls with one-on-one students. These Joshua calls are now available to those of you joining us on the Leading Edge of Thought. This is the expansion of the Law of Attraction. This is Joshua Live. We're thrilled you're here.
We are thrilled to be here.
Well, Joshua.
There has never been another time like this. There will never be another time like this. This is the only time in this moment, in this, we'll say, in this time that we have together on this call, this is all there is right now. There'll never be anything like it in the future. There has never been anything like it in the past. All the energies from whatever is inspiring you today, based on the vibration where you exist at this moment, wherever that may be, and think of it from a higher perspective. This would be the vibration that you've created on your path of this journey of physical reality, exploring who you are or who you're not up to this point in time, which also includes every other life experience you've ever had, every experience in a physical reality, every experience in a non-physical reality. At this point right now, you are the most expanded you have ever been. And in this expanded awareness of who you are, who source is, how you are an aspect of source, how you are not separated from source, you have the full energy of the universe behind you, backing you, and flowing through you at any time. In this moment right now, you have never been the more full version of who you are. And so from this new perspective, you are at a level where you may receive new inspiration, new ideas, new thoughts, new questions, and bring all of humanity towards a higher evolutionary state of being, a state of awareness, a state of clarity, a state of joy, a state of love, a state of more love, more ease, more excitement, more exhilaration, more well-being than what was previously possible. And all humans, as you are as well, all humanity is moving from a state of fear to a state of love. Wherever you are on that fear to love spectrum is where you are at this moment. And that is perfect because it is the highest evolution of who you are. And it has never been more on the love side than it is right now. And tomorrow, you'll be further along that spectrum towards the love side. And the day after that, you'll be further along the perspective of who you are as source, as love, on that spectrum of love. And there is no need to be all the way over to the end, the most fullest love version of you, because it's an evolutionary process and it's a journey and it's an exploration. And so if you can see yourself as perfect as you are, as the highest vibrational stance that you've ever encompassed or stood on before, well, you are perfect for where you need to be in this moment. And this is true of every single moment of your life. You are always more evolved, more expanded. You are always raising your vibration. You are always pushing the envelope of who you truly are. You're always on that exploration of who you truly are. And so in this moment right now, you can revel in the most expanded version of you without worrying about the past or worrying about the future or thinking anything should be different than it is. It's always perfect as it is in the moment because it represents the most expanded version of you, whether you can see it or not, whether you believe it or not. It does not matter. You can look at it as if everything is perfect, or you can look at your conditions, yourself, and the people around you as if they're flawed. That choice is yours to make alone, and whatever choice you choose is also perfect because it's also based in love. It's just a little difference in clarity, a little difference in awareness, a little difference in perspective. If you choose the higher perspective, if you choose the clarity that is available to you now, then you can find more ease and joy in the moment. And that's really all you want. And in that ease and joy and satisfaction of the moment, well, guess what? You're in alignment and you're living life as you intended. So with that, we would like to talk about anything you'd like to talk about. Nothing is off limits. Let inspiration speak through you. Let an idea come to you. Let a problem manifest within you so that you can play around with it, because that issue that you think is prevalent in your life is possibly prevalent in the lives of other people. And so as you ask a question, imagine now that you are actually the teacher allowing the question to come through you for the benefit of all others in this reality. Who'd like to start?
I would like to start.
Excellent. Oh.
Go ahead.
Okay. I'd like to talk about fame. I watched the Grammys last night, and I, for the first time, understood what Joshua talks about when, what you say about, you know, getting something that you think you want doesn't give you the satisfaction that you might get from it. And I observed Billie Eilish receive these awards that she did. She felt like a burden or embarrassment or like lack of worth around. And as a musician, I've always felt like these sorts of awards were kind of the pinnacle of doing this, and that, you know, the more people listen to your music, the better you're doing, whatever. Do these sorts of things correlate with the level of, or the lack of resistance that we're able to have in what we're doing, as much as maybe I'm thinking about that they are?
Let's imagine this. Let's imagine that you're a creator, and your creation is who you perceive yourself to be and is the exploration of who you truly are. So you could see fame in two separate ways. One could be the validation of who you are based on outside conditions. And that would be the old approach to life. If I effort and struggle and do the work and promote myself and do all these things that I need to do, even though it's not part of the creation of this music that's coming through me, it's a side thing that all artists need to do in order to be seen and be heard. And so the creation part of the music is effortless and joyful and fun, and it is something that you specifically like yourself. You do it because this is what you are creating based on your interests and your joy. And then the next part of it is, well, how do I become famous? How do I become rich? How do I make this into something? And all that part of that business is effort and struggle to receive a sense of worthiness that you're good enough to do what you're doing. And so you could certainly manifest fame in that way. And many, many people have. And when they attain that fame, they will get the awesome manifestation event that there is no satisfaction in that. That there is no satisfaction in the outside conditions validating you as worthy, because you always were worthy, you see. And so all the effort and struggle, while it was expansive, was not necessary. And so often when people get to that level of fame where they think they have everything that they've always wanted, and suddenly they realize they feel no more worthy, they feel no more satisfied, and then they ask, what's the point? And so now they must reach for more. But what if there is no more? What if there is nothing beyond that? What if they're having the life that they dreamed of, but it's not making them feel worthy? Because, of course, it could never make them feel worthy. Now, on the other hand, imagine that you did not need any of that to validate who you were. You simply existed in this pure state of creation, and then as a side effect, that all came. And you said, it does not matter. This does not matter to me. I feel guilty for having this because I never wanted it, needed it, or cared about it. Whereas all these other people, all they're doing is talking about how much they want it, how much they're trying to get it, how much they deserve it. And it doesn't come to them. It comes to the one who needs it the least, you see. And so will this change her life? Well, certainly it may. But that is also part of this exploration. And she might discover now that starting off in this pure state, just in this creation of what was coming through, to satisfy herself and to enjoy it herself and with her brother and her family and enjoy just the creation part in bliss and even maybe the performing part, probably in a little less bliss, but maybe even that as well. And now new things come and new opportunities come and she might be pulled in different directions and wealth may come that she was not even searching for. And that may pull her in different directions. And then she may find some criticism that she doesn't actually deserve it. And she gets to play around with those emotions. So this journey of self-discovery, discover who you truly are, is one of playing around with emotions at each expansive state where you find yourself. And no matter who you are or what you think or wherever you're coming from, it'll always be perfect, perfectly aligned with the journey of self-discovery. So you might find yourself coming into a manifestation event, dipping into a lower emotional state of being, receiving an urge to change the conditions, and either acting on that urge or processing the limiting belief, realizing that none of that outside of you will ever matter. It'll either accompany how you feel already, and therefore you'll say it means nothing. It's just what happens when you do your thing, and it's just a natural, the money should come so I can do my thing more. The awards and accolades should come because they represent who I'm being as a clear creator, and that's all fine. And the person who is living that life will not see an award as validation, but see it as a side effect of a pure creative approach to life. Either way, it's expansive. But if you were going to choose the most effective way for you, would you care whether 100 people liked your music or 1 million people liked it?
No, I wasn't thinking about the caring about it, though. I was thinking more in terms of like, are the people who have allowed there to be millions of people listening to their music less resistant to that than the people who have allowed 100 or 20?
So you're looking at a manifestation. And the manifestation can come from a pure place of allowing or from a place of making it happen in effort and struggle. You could become the president, and it could be a side effect of who you're being as a leader or the side effect of manifesting a feeling of worthiness where there is no feeling of worthiness. Both manifestations can occur. But one is to show you who you are, and one is to show you who you're not. And it depends on how you've been being all the way through. So let's take it into you personally. Where do you lie on this idea, on this spectrum? Would fame enhance your life? Is this something you desire? Or would it matter at all?
I don't know. I don't think I ever felt like it would enhance my life.
Excellent. So there you're just saying, it'll be what it'll be. It'll be the side effect of the joy that I have for creating music. And it would be an interesting ride, and there'll be something new in that. And if it comes, fine. And if it comes, it's meant to come, to take me on my journey of self-discovery to another level. So it's perfectly matched with who you are as a creative being. Yet if you think that's where it needs to be in order for you to live the life that you want to live, and you won't derive any satisfaction until you get that, then you will be taking away from the creative aspect of your life, from the satisfying aspect of your life, and you'll be efforting, struggling to make something happen that you do not know is for your benefit. You see. And so with anything, financial abundance, you do not know if your life would be enhanced with millions of dollars. You might assume this is true, but very likely that could be the opposite. You do not know if your career would be enhanced by millions and millions and millionaires of followers. It might be, and if it is, fine, or it might be better with fewer. A more concise and dedicated following might be more aligned with who you truly are and what you intended prior to your birth. So if you gave up needing anything to be different than it is, well, then you can just live in the moment. And in the moment, you'll receive the inspiration to do things that will lead to whatever it is that is best and most magnificent, most elegant to unfold for you. The universe is working in all different areas of the world and the universe and people and places and timing of everything to get you what you truly want. And to assume that you know what that is from your limited perspective is to discount the power that is inherent and the information and the intelligence that's inherent in the universe. So you could have seen different people in the audience and how they were feeling and going through manifestation events themselves. And you could tell where their vibration was in the area of worthiness. And some who felt worthy would not care. And some who felt unworthy would cling to the accolades and the achievement and the awards as a necessary validation of their worthiness. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that, oh, excuse me. Yes, that does make sense. Thank you.
Excellent. Sherry.
Hi. Hi, Joshua. Scared to talk, but I'm going to go ahead. This, in the form from last, I think it was last week's form where it said, like, write down something that you think is wrong in your life. And so I did the paperwork on it, and I, you know, I always want to minimize myself, like, oh, it's a silly question, but I know it's not. So I'm just going to pretend nobody else is here but me and you. So I used to work out really great and have great arms and tiny little weight. I mean, I still have a great figure for my age, but after I had cancer, I could never get my momentum back for that strength. And because I work out of the house, I'm like tied to my desk. I would just take me off the calendar, just sell the space, sell, you know, and I just keep canceling myself out. So this year is the year that it's like, I really need to get my strength back, because at this age, it's like those muscles have atrophied in my legs, and it's a really a bummer. And I really want to break through it. And it's like, I start out well, like I've spoke to my, you know, my wonderful coach you assigned me to, which was phenomenal. She's the best. And so I've committed to Friday. I'm going to begin this workout class that I really had. And it's the fact that they even have this class so close to my house is just such a blessing for me. So I'm starting, I'm going to take it on Mondays and Fridays. But whenever I go to do it, and I know that because my top weight, you know, 30 years ago was 260 pounds, I have such a disconnect in my body from the incest, from my whole childhood, that I always feel like I'm going through another cut and polish to close the gap so that I can live on all three planes, physical, emotional, and spiritual. So I'm going to go Friday, but there's always this like a tear in me, and I don't know what that is. And I know once I get going, I'll get over the hump, but there's a tear after I had breast cancer, and I want to deal with it.
Do you accept your body as it is right now?
Yes.
Do you accept the way it looks? Do you accept the strength? Do you accept the muscles? Do you accept all that it is right now?
I accept and have even grown more fully into that from what you've said is my body is perfect for what I need it to do now. But now that I'm changing my whole lifestyle and everything, I need it to be strong and athletic because I'm a swimmer. And now when I go to swim and do laps, I just don't have that endurance. And where I'm going to be moving, I want to go back to all my old scuba diving and snorkeling, and I want to have all that lifestyle again.
So your body is perfect for what you experience, what you're exploring right now. And now you're choosing to embark on a new exploration, knowing that the start of this exploration, the body is perfect for that start. Because if the body was not perfect for the start of the exploration, you could not have the inspiration for this new exploration. So let's assume this exploration is 1 year of exercise over the next, twice a week, over the next 52 weeks. Okay. This is the exploration. Starting at place B, A, and ending up at place B at the end of the year.
Okay.
Where you are now when you start, your body is perfect. If you had no limbs, then your body would not be perfect for this exploration and you would have a different inspiration. So the body is perfect now. To want it to be different than it is to want a different exploration. As it would be the exploration of how do I take this body that is broken and wrong and not good now and make it something else in the future. Instead, the more effective way to look at it is to say the body is perfect now and the body will always support me in everything I need to do in this exploration. Now, the exploration isn't to become something different at the end. That would be a goal. The exploration is to show up to the first exercise appointment, do that first exercise appointment, and then show up to the next one. Do that one, and then show up to the next one. As it is pleasurable, enjoyable, easy, and fun. If it is strenuous and difficult and painful, then you are trying to create a condition that does not exist now.
So I have like a little disconnect in my head because whenever I go to work out or take a class or do in my mind, I think I'm that strength that I had before and I go to do it and then I'm wiped out for like days and I don't.
So you are doing this exploration based on.
Let me just say that I have so much fun when I do it. I like spend all my energy and then I'm like flat for 5 days. And I have no consistency, and I don't seem to get the...
We'll say very quickly, you're trying to make something happen. Instead of doing it for the joy
of it. Like, I don't take my money and then spend it, you know what I mean? Like, I know how to build wealth, okay? So it's like, but with my health, I think like, woohoo, it's like unending, like it used to be in the young, youthful days. And I forget, like, sure, you only have so much energy. You have to stop. You're having fun, but go home now. Stop it. Go home. It's like, and I don't want to stop. I kind of binge on it.
So let's imagine that you show up to this first appointment. And how long is the exercise routine that you'll be doing?
It's a 1 hour.
1 hour. And you are going to take the body that you have now in that 1 hour that you have, and you're going to exist in a state of joy and pleasure and challenge, but not to make the body different than it is, just to go on the exploration of this 1 hour over the course of twice a week for 52 weeks or 100 of these appointments over the course of a year. And so as you go in, you might say, I enjoy this process, it's challenging, it's fun, I love it, and then I'm wiped down for 5 days. That's part of this exploration. And then you go again, and you enjoy it, and you have fun, and it's exciting and interesting and challenging, and then you're wiped down for 5 days. So the exploration is, how do you exist in those 5 days between the exercise, the 1 hour? How do you allow yourself to be worn out and tired? Are you trying to do something else? Well, that's another exploration. Or can you be, if this is your exploration, can you be okay being wiped out? If you're resisting the wiped out part, you're going to say the cause of this being wiped out is this exercise. You're going to dip into a lower emotional state of being. You're going to find yourself in the consciousness of fear and lack. You're going to bring up an urge, and the urge is going to say, don't do the exercise. If you can be okay being wiped out and realize
I can't take it. I don't have enough energy to get all the way through the day with my clients or to enjoy my husband in the evening. No, it's like it's not okay.
But it is okay because this was inspired.
What?
It is okay. You can find a way. And do you think that in 8 weeks that you'll be wiped out for the whole time? Or do you think that your body will adjust and that you'll adjust vibrationally so that now you won't be as tired? The body will get the energy that you're asking for.
No, I don't think that I can do it because like I already, when I looked at the class, I thought, oh, I can go do laps after, and or if I don't want to swim, then I can take the Zumba class. And it's like, sure, there you go. You're just binging on life again. It's like, stop it. Build, build, build. world. You have, and so I thought, my boot camp coach, I usually talk to her at 10, but because of this class, I have to move the call back. So I'm thinking, like, if I take her call at 10:30, then it would force me to run home, and I couldn't be in my head to go play. It's, you know, and it's like, so I don't know if I should do that. So I'm, you know, because I book myself tight like that constantly, which is stressful. And I want to live more relaxed, but I know me, it's kind of like I can binge on it, and because I'm having such a great time, I forget tomorrow's another day.
So do you think that those, that time spent, as you described, in joy and fun is really not the most effective way to be?
No, I feel great to take, because I never take time for me. So no, I feel like I've snuck out from school.
And so
like,
why would you not live life that way? Only enjoy and fun. Why would you do anything else?
No, I work the same way. My clients go back to back.
If that was true, you would never have any issues. If this was true, but what you're trying to do is control your life in a way that you think will allow for all this stuff that you have to be in order to be seen as worthy and good. It's not fun. It's not joy. It's not ease. It's control. Control the exercise, control the feeling after the exercise, control the drive home so I'm not thinking too much, control the conversation with this person, control the time.
I don't have my head right in this.
Your head is perfect for where you need to be right now. It is always perfect. You're at the highest expansions of you. If it wasn't perfect, you wouldn't understand one word of this conversation. Where you are now is perfect. The way you see life right now is perfect. You are learning that you have been in a life of fear and control, and that you are transitioning from that life of fear and control to a life of ease and joy. You think that moments of joy are your reward for all the hard work. The hard work was always a waste of time.
No, the work is the joy, because it's like,
we're not talking about your physical work. We're talking about your controlling yourself work. The control work over and over and go. I'm controlling myself so I can be seen as good. I'm controlling myself to do this and do this and do this and I have to do in order to get what I think I need. We're saying that in those brief moments of joy, you let yourself just be. That is the experience of life that you truly want. Now, you set yourself up on a trajectory to land you here. Your entire life was perfect as you lived it. There was no wrong in any of it. You adopted a sense of control, which is so prevalent in your society. And the beautiful thing about this whole thing is that as you go from a life of pure control, which we would say on the scale of 1 to 10 is a 45, of pure control to a life of ease and joy, guess who you're going to help? All those others who live life exactly like you, who cannot see that control is a wasted effort, that it is ineffective, that it produces no satisfaction, and that a life of ease and joy, living in alignment and inspiration, is not only fun and interesting and exciting and exhilarating, but absolutely satisfying and the most effective way you can do it. So you're easing into this idea. You've gotten yourself here. There's much resistance around this new approach to life, as will be common for everyone that you talk to. But from your unique perspective, you're going to understand it in a way that's going to radically transform your life. Now, you're only in this for a few weeks. As you move forward throughout this year, this exploration of who you are as a spiritual teacher and leader, as you understand the new approach to life of absolute acceptance of yourself as perfect as you are without needing to change one thing, of all the people in your life as perfect as they are, without you needing them to be different than they are to experience joy and alignment, and the conditions as they exist in this moment are also perfect, even if there's an earthquake, it's perfect from your perspective, you see. If you can approach life like that, which you will, as you go through your exploration of this year, you will, and everyone else will see your transformation from a life of pure control. And we're saying this as on the spectrum of control, you're at the one end. And as you ease up, everyone else who pays attention to you over the course of this year will say, this is the most amazing transformation we've ever witnessed. And this gives us the inspiration to do the same thing. And you will become a beacon a beacon, a light, shining a light, because your entire reality will shift so dramatically that you will start living not in fear constantly, but in acceptance consistently. And that will feel amazing to you. And this is something you will want to share.
Is this the acceptance is to say, Sherry, you have one class, go to the class and enjoy life over here. You don't have to, and like that, and just accept that I can only do 1 hour until I build up, until I feel inspired to do more. Just make that, those two
brilliant
classes.
You couldn't have said that better. This is
our, you said it, so
our proof that you are getting this right now. Okay. That you say, this is the one class. I have the class now. I'm going to go to that class and I'm going to enjoy it to the fullest potential. And when that segment is over, I will have expanded through the experience of that. I will come to a new level of awareness, and then I will choose from absolute acceptance what's the most exciting thing I can do now. And if that's going home and getting on the computer and talking to a client, then that's it. Or if that's going to the grocery store, that's it. Or if that's going for a walk in the park. But this need to do more exercise to get yourself there faster is control and fear. You'll come to see that.
Thank you.
Amazing question. We appreciate your willingness to play with us. We are looking forward to more. Who's next?
Joshua, I would like to ask a question. So, as some people know, I am part of a community that is Kundalini yoga and also Sikh. And recently, a memoir that was written by someone who was a member of the community many years ago has recently come out. And I actually read this book. And there are a lot of controversial things that are in this book that may or may not be true about the spiritual teacher that pretty much led this whole movement of Kundalini yoga and Sikhism here in the Western Hemisphere.
Excellent. And so let's stop right there and you'll continue. But now, from the leader of any movement, could this person possibly be wrong in any way?
No.
From a higher perspective, they were perfect for who they needed to be in every aspect of their life to get this movement started. Now, they may not line up with your morals and your beliefs about what's right or wrong, but who they needed to be to start this movement, they had to be that exactly. Now continue.
I don't know if I need to, because I kind of want to hear more of what you have to say about it.
Well, if you were going to write about somebody who existed as the leader of something, would you write only glowing praises of them if you were the inspired to do this memoir?
Well, no, right, which is very contradictory to pretty much what everybody's been saying about him ever since I've come onto the scene and since I've known, you know, the people who are still part of the community and who were close to this leader, this person, for a very long time. Nobody said anything bad about him.
Now, let's imagine this. Let's imagine that you find something that you're really interested in and that it seems to be working for you. And you really enjoy what's happening. Now, are you going to have an attachment to this thing you're doing? And if so, anything that goes against that attachment, you have to either discount or disprove or not believe. Because if something is brought up that's negative about this thing that you think is so positive, well, you're going to worry about the loss of what you have because you have an attachment to it.
Sure.
And so the easiest way to deal with any of these things is have no attachment to it. What you get out of that community, this way of life, is beneficial for you specifically. And by following any dogma about it or any prescribed way, you're sort of limiting your contribution to it. Because as you are unique, you bring something unique to it. The movement came about to get you to where you are now. And yet it will always either expand or something new will come on top of it to bring it to another level. Nothing will ever stay the same. So those who are really attached to this thing cannot see anything wrong in the leader, because to see anything wrong would be to diminish their group or their movement or whatever it is. And they can't
diminish what they're attached to. Yeah. Diminish
because they're attached to it. Right. Yeah. So without the attachment, it won't matter. You wouldn't care. And so without the attachment, you wouldn't need to follow everything as prescribed by everyone else, because you're coming in a new place with your own unique power, your own unique interests, and your own unique life path. And so this is just a stop along the way. So you can improve and enhance it if you like. You can stick to it religiously if you like, or you can find the next thing if you like, or you can bring it all together and create something brand new just for you without anyone needing to validate your idea. So Imagine this. Imagine that you're in a community. They say, we don't eat meat. We don't drink alcohol. And you say, well, that is good for you, but I'm going to have a glass of wine and a pork chop. Occasionally. Yeah. You don't have to live in it, but why would you not have the wine or the pork chop? Because you have an attachment to this idea, and you say, in order for me to get the benefits of this idea, I have to do it exactly like was prescribed by someone who existed at a completely different energy level than you, a completely different vibrational level than you, possibly at a different time than you. And so now those beliefs that created this thing were limited and beneficial at the same time. But there were different ideas when this was created. And it's evolved to a new level. And when it evolves to another level, the entire thing is going to collapse anyway from the construction of what was originally conceived. And you can see this with all religions. All religions have manifested into something else, or something else has come on top of it. All movements, all creations are based on what they were at the time they were created by the creator and his or her set of limiting beliefs and beneficial beliefs at that time, at that vibration. As the vibration goes forward, then people add to it. It moves around. It either dies or is replaced with something else or expands, you see? And it need not be rigid and static. It need be malleable so that it can grow. Mm-hmm. So this manuscript now, this comes out and it gets to shine a light on, hey, maybe this needs to be adjusted here. Maybe there's a better way. Maybe we don't have to buy into this belief system that was established before. Maybe we can create something new or expand on this. Maybe we don't have to hold this creator, this founder, in such high regard and see that everything he said was the word of God itself. And we say, maybe we can add our desires to it, our passion to it, our interest to it, our inspired thoughts to it.
I love that. Yeah, that's exactly how I've been feeling about all of it. And so this is just perfect confirmation. Because, I mean, I feel like this path has been so important for me in my past, like even to getting me here. So I'm still part of it. I don't really meditate or do yoga, at least not lately. I don't feel a need for it. I don't have an inspiration for it right now.
Exactly.
So, you know, and I don't have this fear that like I'm going to lose what I've had. I used to feel that for sure. But like now that I'm here, it's like it's not like that anymore.
You can't lose anything. You can only gain. By holding this attachment to what was, you sort of restrict your evolution to what will be. But what will be is where you want to go. And so you can see that this led you to that, that led you to this, this led you to that, and that led you here now. And this will lead you somewhere else. And that will lead you somewhere else. And it's an evolution of discovering who you truly are. You've made it here because of all that. And you'll make it to the next place because of all this. Mm-hmm. Yet sure. You don't have to believe that what we say is true. You don't have to believe that what anyone else said is true. You can combine what we're saying with your own internal dialogue that's right for you. And then as you go along, you can not need us at all. And you can flow forth everything that you need to conduct the exploration of who you truly are from within. It is all available to all of you from within. We are just making it easier to fit within your belief system. But it's still cumbersome because it has to go through Gary and he only does it a couple times a week and you have to get online at a certain time and blah, 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 blah. And you're lucky if you can ask your question, blah, 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 blah. You can do it yourself and you will do it yourself as you move along. And then you can do a bit of both. And then you can find someone else and do a bit of all of it. But remember that everything you create, this entire reality that you've created, you created Kundalini. You created Sikhdom. You created this community. You created Joshua. You will create everything that goes on in your life. And it'll all be your own unique creation. If it's all your creation, how can you lose anything? Because you're always creating new, creating new, creating new. You can't lose if you're creating new. You have all that in that form that was appropriate at the time, and you will be creating everything new, whatever you need to do. If you fear loss, you're exploring the fear of loss, the possibility of loss. If you don't fear loss and just move towards that which you're inspired to do, then you create everything new from scratch all the time. And it will be a perfect match to whoever you are at that time. So raise your perspective on yourself and everything else will relate to that.
Excellent. Got it. Thank you.
Who's next?
I believe Juan has a question.
Juan in a million?
Juan in a million. Are you there? He's there. You're up, Juan.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Excellent. Okay, so last night I was watching a replay of the Grammys, and there was a segment where Camila Cabello, or Camila Cabello, if you use the right appropriate term, did a tribute to her dad, and it was a song about the first man that loved her. And I guess very early in the song, I started to have these feelings, and I couldn't these emotions. I could not contain them, and I just started to cry, and I had to sort of left the room to sort of try to get my quote unquote act together. I realized that this is very much happens in other contexts as feelings about my daughter come to me. So my daughter, for those of you on the call that do not know, has autism. She's a special needs child. And throughout this journey, I've always felt, on the one hand, as if I haven't done enough as a dad in order to be able to help her to get to a spot where she can sort of explore who she is, her potential, and, you know, to have her have the life that she sort of deserves. On the other hand, with the teachings of Joshua, I got, you know, this sense of peace and that, you know, we sort of like choose to go on this journey. And so I'm always conflated whenever certain events or certain songs seem to trigger this wave of emotion on me that is not controllable, if you will. Now, I'm not saying it's bad, but I'm trying to understand that perspective, why it is that this happens. And what is it trying to teach me? What is it I need to learn from it, if anything?
Well, first of all, that image of someone who is so appreciative of their father will trigger an emotion in the fathers out there to see this outpouring of love. But from your perspective, that's all that is. It's an image. And so that image, however you saw it, is the thing that points to, in this case, a highly beneficial belief. The beneficial belief that the daughter can love the father can love the daughter, that they're there to support each other. What actually happens in that reality of the singer and her father has nothing to do with it. It's the image that you are receiving based on your perspective of reality, you see, from your unique perspective. And so in the idea that you need to be different than you are so that your daughter can have the life she intended to have is not your business. You can only be who you are. To try and change who you are in order to affect some outcome, well, you're basically going it alone, and you're basically dipping into a lower emotional state of being, the state of being that you're not doing enough. And in that state of being, you're tied into that stream of consciousness of lack and fear. And in that stream, you dig down under the current and you pull up an urge to change the condition in order to feel better about not doing enough, you see. And that urge to change the condition might lead to a manifestation event, might lead to something unwanted, but certainly is going to lead to the exploration of who you're not. Who you truly are is absolutely perfect as you are to fully support the journey of self-discovery for her. You're perfect as you are. In knowing you're perfect as you are, you can maintain your alignment. In thinking you need to be different, well, you have to dip down in that stream of consciousness of fear, and you're always going to receive urges to change the conditions. In knowing that you're perfect as you are, that you're doing the right thing, that you're doing everything to the best of your capabilities, that you might get triggered sometimes, that you might have doubts and fears, and that's normal. But in the absolute awareness that you're perfect as you are, so that she can come and explore who she is, then she is just allowed to do whatever she needs to do with your support in love, not in the fear that she should be doing something different. And in that alignment, you'll have the inspiration to go buy some ice cream, to go walk in the park, to go see a movie, whatever it is. In the fear that you're not doing enough, you might hire a specialist, you might get a tutor, you might put her in a special school. You might do all these things that would not be wrong at all, but would be less effective because they're based in fear and not based in love. So, does this woman's father really love her?
Yeah.
We can't know. We can't know.
I think so.
He loves a version of her that aligns with what he thinks is right for her. If she was doing something totally different, maybe he would have a different opinion. It doesn't matter what the father thinks of the daughter. If the daughter thinks the father loves her, then that's all that's needed so she can stay in alignment in that love. But the daughter actually has no idea what the father's thinking. The father doesn't even know the daughter as who she truly is, which is also true of the daughter herself. It's, since she's on a journey of self-discovery and does not know who she is, well, how could the father know? The father just sees the daughter as a representation. So this idea that one could love you is not accurate. It's not really true. You can perceive that someone loves you, but what they love is this projection that they see based on their perception of reality, based on their set of beliefs. And so one person could exist where the father loves this person, but the mother doesn't. Or the father and mother love this person, but the siblings don't. Or the father and the mother love it, but the children don't. You see, it's just based in, is this person giving me fear or is this person making me feel good? Well, if you're attached to how outside conditions are, you're going to manipulate one another so that you behave in a way that limits the amount of fear. So if you can say, I accept you to your daughter, then if she feels fear in your behavior, well, you don't have to modify it now. It's just her manifestation event. You don't need her to perceive you as anything. You can allow yourself to be authentically as you are, to do only what you're inspired to do. And if she is triggered by that, well, then so be it. And she will move to another expanded version of herself and see herself differently. See, she's playing off you to understand herself. If you modify who you are to placate her, to get her to like, love, or respect you, then you're being an inauthentic version of yourself, and she's playing off an inauthentic version and not getting an accurate picture back. And we have progressed far past your question about emotion to say what's really going on here. So if you have the emotion that you're not doing enough, well, your inner self is telling you that you're wrong about that. Your inner self is telling you that you're looking at that from a limited perspective. If you have a positive emotion that you are a wonderful father, then your inner self is giving you the positive emotion because that aligns with your set of beliefs and your perspective, which is true, you see. So the positive emotion pertains to a true perspective, a true version of reality. You are a wonderful father. The negative emotion lets you know you're looking at an illusion. The illusion is you perceive yourself not to be enough. That's not true at all in any circumstances, and your inner self is letting you know that you're looking at the illusion, and that illusion is not going to be beneficial because it's going to dip you into a lower emotional state of being. This is also tied to all of the experiences you've had in your life with your own parents, with all those who are important to you along the way, and to what love is in general. And so now you have someone there in your life who you can love and accept absolutely, and you get to practice with that and practice being authentic. If you can be who you are, which is a wonderful father, if you can see that, if you can adjust your emotions anytime you feel a little bit off, a little bit that maybe I could do more, a little bit that maybe I didn't do enough, that negative emotion is letting you know you're simply looking at the illusion. So you can, rather than change the conditions, process that and go back and say, no, this isn't true. I am perfect. We were joined together. It was part of a contract that we made, that everything is working out, that she need not be any different than she is, that she is here to explore this aspect of reality in a unique way, that she is a master explorer, and I'm lucky enough to be the one who's going with her on this journey. But ultimately, that's her journey, and your role is to be this authentic figure looking at reality as it really is, looking at her as if she needs nothing at all. She's doing everything perfectly, and so are you. If you can see that, the fear and doubt will not be so strong. The manifestation events will not occur that often, and the illusion that you're not enough will fade away.
Thank you, Joshua. That's really helpful.
We have time for one more question. This should be a silly question, the least important question ever asked by anyone. It'll be a nothing question. Maybe we'll even cut it out of this conversation. Who would like to talk?
What should I have for dinner?
Have you ever tried Thai food?
Good
That's
one.
Funny.
What would you think about dinner right now?
I was actually going to make Thai food.
When you think about dinner right now, that idea for what to have for dinner, where would that come from? Does it come from your stomach?
Just as inspiration. It comes from source. It comes from desires built up all around, I guess.
If you were starving to death and thought you were going to die, where would the inspiration come from? Where would the thoughts for dinner come from?
If you're starving, most likely there would be some fear in there. So
that would be an urge to change the conditions. Absolutely right. Appropriate when it's a life or death situation.
Sure.
And so if your urge to kill a rat and eat the rat to save your life, well, that's perfectly appropriate. But it's not the most pleasurable thing that you could do. Yet to make the Thai food possibly is the most pleasurable thing you could do because you're coming from a state of alignment. Can you see the difference? One's based in fear, eat the rat. One's based in love, eat the delicious Thai food. This has been the most thrilling question, most illuminating question on the idea of inspiration and urges that has ever been asked by anyone. You must be a master teacher and leader. We salute all of you for coming together in this community of openness and co-creation and joy and exploration into ideas that most of humanity would never want to even consider because they are counterintuitive and they seem to go against the grain of what does work. But unless you've had a little experience in trying to make things happen outside of yourself, you can't know how ineffective that truly is. So let them all play around with that. You've all found your way here. You can now embrace a new approach to life, the approach of acceptance, inspiration, and alignment. And with that, we are complete.
Thank you, Joshua.
Thank you, Joshua.
Thank you, Gary.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Joshua Live. If you have a question you would like Joshua to answer on the show, send us a message on Facebook at www.facebook.com/teachingsofjoshua. As always, remember that you are loved more than you can imagine by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next time.